outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of the father's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is the God Journey.
Well, welcome to 2020. Can you imagine? My goodness, how did we ever get here? I remember being a kid growing up in the 60s, going to churches that were talking about Jesus coming by 1970, 71, 72 at the latest, and wondering if I'd even have a chance to get married before the world came to an end. And now Sarah and I have been married over 44 years. My dad's 94. We've made it to 2020, and man, it's just unbelievable how much time has passed. But here we are. And we got another year to see what God unfolds. You know, if you listen to the God Journey much, I'm not a turn of the year, set a new agenda, New Year's resolutions. I'm just not that guy. I look at every day as a fresh opportunity to keep discovering what it means to follow Him. So January 1 of any year is not any more significant to me than June 23rd, for that matter, and how we wake and follow. But I've been thinking about something this week that I would just love to kind of talk about with you. Now, this is not a conversation. I don't have anyone else here. I tried to see if Sarah would do this, but Sarah has a disaffection for microphones. So she's off doing other things today. And I had a moment just here, and you know, I've been really thinking about something, and I'd like to invite you into it. I'd like to invite you into this conversation, particularly in the year ahead, because I think it will have some real impact on that. And it'll be short because no one else is here. It's not a regular podcast, just kind of a tickle your fancy for the year ahead. We're beginning season number 16. That's hard to believe. This will be our 16th season. Who will be on it? I don't know. This has become a very much a week-to-week thing with me. What's going on? Who do I feel like we can talk to that will illuminate things on that? Brad and I have done a lot of podcasts, not all 700 and some odd we've done together, but the vast majority of those. We've talked about all kinds of things. I fully anticipate that Brad and I will continue here, and he'll come by and see me now and then, and we'll get that done. At the same time, for the last year, I've had on my heart to let this venue be open to other voices. So we've had Tracy on to discuss some things. My daughter Julie comes on, Kyle, Jeff, Bob and Arnita with the Language of Healing book, and I'm sure we'll do more about that stuff too. So I hope you enjoy them. I hear as I'm traveling around, different people have, I really like it when so-and-so's on, I like it when so-and-so's on. And that's spread out enough for me that I feel like, yeah, we're connecting. I realize it's not the same as two guys yucking it up or two people yucking it up with some regularity. And maybe someday we settle back into that pattern. Maybe someday this ends. I don't have an agenda with it. And I certainly don't have coming into this year, oh, here's the plan. I'm just going to tell you, like everything else in my life, we're going to take it a day at a time. We're going to seek to listen. We're going to follow those conversations that I think sound fun and workable. And hopefully you'll find them fun too. And if you don't, then gosh, there's how many billions of podcasts out there you get to listen to. What I love about the God Journey, and we don't encourage people, I hope we don't discourage people from listening to all 16 seasons. I meet a lot of people who have. They've gone back and listened to everyone, or some picked us up from the beginning, and maybe they don't listen every week, but mostly they'll chime in and see what's going on. And we appreciate that. We're certainly not trying to discourage that. But what I love about this podcast is that it keeps seemingly, at least by my email, which is the only way I would know that, it seems to keep drawing people who are at the fresh start of the trailhead, or maybe even not sure which trail they're going. They're struggling with the futility of religion, but they haven't really yet jumped onto a different journey of making it more relationally connected. I love that. I love that we get to talk to people there. Or we talk to people just trying to find their bearings on this trail. I guess that's what this is about today that I'd want to talk to you about briefly. It's about being at the beginning of this trailhead, because I get this email a lot. It seems like, here's how it goes. It seems like God, to me, is like the dad who ran away from mom into some far-off country. And every year, you know, I get a letter from him, tells me how much he loves me, how much he cares about me, how much he wants to be in my life. But I never see him. I never meet him. I never sit down and talk to him and struggle to know him. And that struggle to know him is a pretty recurrent theme through scripture, through history, through life. That it seems like if God, and this is how I hear it, Seems like if God really wanted to know us, he would just reveal himself in a way that we would never be able to doubt it again. There'd be a lightning bolt across heaven that spells out my name, or the stars would suddenly arrange themselves in some beautiful pattern, or, you know, there's that. And you see it in the Bible, too. You see it in the New Testament. The Pharisees and others are craving a sign. Give us a sign so that we'll know. And the disciples struggle as Jesus talks to them. They even talk about, man, I wish you could be more plain about this because I'm really not sure what you're saying. And many times he knew they weren't getting it. He was saying it to them. And I think the idea that many people get, particularly those at the beginning of this journey or in the early days of it or whatever, they feel like God makes this really difficult, that God hides himself too well. And it's like being in the frustration of a hide-and-seek game, and you can't find anybody for hours at a time. And we get the idea that God, and I've even read stuff like that, where God hides himself, because that's the nature of it. I've been reading some fresh, I'm going through John again in just my own reading, and processing out some of what Jesus is saying, particularly in that what we call the upper room discourse, John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17:2 is the prayer he gives. And that's long been one of my favorite passages. A favorite's not really the right word. It's one of those passages where every time I go through it, I mine new stuff. New stuff just revealed. I've just finished reading my book In Season, Embracing God's Process of Fruitfulness. Just read that whole book onto audio, and it'll be a little bit before it gets out. But I'd gotten done Language of Healing, and people keep asking me, could we get that one too? So I thought, you know, I've got December free, I'll do that. And then probably we'll do Beyond Sundays in the next few months as well. But just finished reading that, which is all John 15, A Farmer's View of the Vineyard. Just so refreshed in what it means for us to make ourselves at home in him, and to make him our dwelling. And when we live there, how life changes, how we learn love. We learn to live loved. We embrace love. But in the middle of that upper room discourse is some of this language again about making it plain. And I can't figure out what's going on. And Jesus saying, you know, I've spoken in figures of speech, but now I'm going to tell the thing very plainly to you. And then he's questioned, well, you're going to make it plain to us. Why don't you make it plain to the rest of the world? Because they're really confused. And in the middle of this, in John 14, I find this little conversation very interesting. Verse 21, John 14, the person who knows my commands and keeps them. And his commands is to love one another as we've been loved. When people hear commandments, they always go back to, in their mind, if you're religiously indoctrinated at all, you go back to the Ten Commandments. And yeah, I got to keep those commandments. And if I keep those commandments, then he'll love me. That's not what he's saying. Person who knows my commands and keeps them, that's who loves me. In other words, it's the loving that leads to the keeping. It's not the keeping that proves the loving. And that's part of that religious framework in which we've interpreted the Bible, that our obedience comes before God's love, that God's love is the reward for our obedience, instead of God's love is the place where obedience is made possible. When I know that I'm loved, and when I know that I'm cared for, and I know that I have a Father who watches over me, I get to live differently in the world. And I will keep his commands because God has all the best stuff on the planet. That's why it's so difficult not to know him and try to live the Christian life without Christ. It's impossible. It's frustrating. People will fail at it. We'll call them hypocrites and we'll say, oh, the whole thing's a lark because you can't do it. And no, you can't do it, but he can do it in you. And so he says, the one who keeps my commands, he loves me. Now, why do you know that? Because love's the only way to keep them. Love's the only way to live inside God's reality, to embrace God, the things God sees, and live the way God lives. And so the person who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will make myself plain to him. And now Judas, this is not Iscariot, this is not the one who betrayed him, this is the second disciple named Judas. He said, Master, why is it that you are about to make yourself plain to us, but not to the world? And this is what he says. This really just caught my attention, this read through, because this is in the message, because a loveless world, said Jesus, is a sightless world. If anyone loves me, he will carefully keep my word, and my Father will love him and will move right into the neighborhood. Not loving me means not keeping my words. The message you are hearing isn't mine. It's the message of the Father who sent me. I'm telling you these things while I'm still living with you. This is verse 25, now 26. The friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, he will make everything plain to you. Look at God's passion. This is not God saying, look, I'm hiding these things really well, so only to the people who really work hard at it or uniquely gifted can find these things. Is Jesus saying, I'm making this as plain as I can possibly make it because I want you to get it. I'm not hiding it somewhere. I'm not tucking it behind a tree 2,000 miles away from where you live. My reality is right in front of your face. And the things I'm saying to you are very plain. I'm just saying them to you. But he makes this comment, a loveless world is a sightless world. What he's saying is, if you don't embrace love, you can't see his reality. So if I'm caught up in this shame cycle or performance cycle, or I'm trying really hard to get God to like me, and then I say, well, gosh, I don't see him. I don't see him making himself known to me. That's why. It's not because, well, your father's gone 7 continents over and may send you a love letter now and then, but it's really not. No, God is with you, wants to live in you when you make that connection. And now from inside of you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he wants to make things plain. He doesn't want to make it difficult. He doesn't make it hard for you. And the reason we don't see it is not because we're not particularly sensitive. It's not because we're too thick or dense. It's because we don't live in love. We haven't embraced love as the paradigm of life. And love is the lens through which God's reality is plain. Then you don't need signs and wonders. You don't need a spark of something to prove it to you. You then have the ability to see what you mostly missed. Again, not because God's hiding, but because a loveless world is a sightless world. So Jesus is saying things really plain to the Pharisees, religious leaders of the day, to others, and it's going right over their head because they don't have that same passion he has. They don't have a sense of being loved by the Father and experiencing that love on the inside. And then experiencing that love makes it easier to see. It begins to give a sight into the fingerprints of God in our life. We've had Bob Prater on the podcast a while back. He talked about hearing someone's story. And I asked him, what is it that you're looking for when people tell you their story? I said, I'm looking for the fingerprints of God that they've missed. Places where God has interacted with them, and they may not even put God to it. They may just thought, gosh, it was a lucky break. It was just an insight I had from my own intuition. And they didn't put God's name to the things that helped shape their life. And it's not that he wasn't there, and it's not that it wasn't plain as day. It's I wasn't in the place to see it. And as we continue to have people who jump into this podcast kind of new, and this is something that excites you and you want to be a part of it with us and listen to the journey. And you're hungering for a journey, you're not having it, and you feel like, man, I don't hear God's words, I don't hear his voice, he doesn't speak to me, he doesn't lead me, he doesn't guide me. The reason that's true is not because he isn't. It's not because the words aren't there, it's not because the realities aren't there. It's because love doesn't free you to see them, and love doesn't free you to walk in them, because I'm caught up in my fear, my shame, my impatience, my wanting God to be a fairy godmother who just makes my pathway easy and smooth. And he doesn't do that. So then I think, well, he doesn't exist, or he doesn't care if he does exist. Instead, what Jesus was inviting us to is, look, come and be loved. And if you need someone else to help point out the fingerprints of God to you to kind of jumpstart this journey, then find someone. I think that's a great gift. I think more than anything, that's what elders do in the body of Christ. They help people see the fingerprints of God in their own life. What eldership has come to mean, unfortunately, in much of our religious environments, is they're not elders for people, they're elders of an institution, and their job is to manage the institution. The job is not to help people have a greater grasp and insight and vision into what God is doing in them, and how God wants to splash out of them to touch the world around them. We're so busy in our visionary mindset of the church growth movement that's been going on for 40 years is wanting to attract people to be part of someone else's vision and be a cog in a machine that's lifeless. Real leadership in the body of Christ is going to help you see how God's taking shape in you. They're going to encourage a process of you fulfilling the vision God's put in your heart, not you fulfilling the vision God's put in theirs. And so if you need somebody to kind of help point it out to you, I think where this starts, though, and this is probably what I wanted to kind of prod you with at the beginning of this year is he's already being plain with you. If you accept that, and I still get in places where I've got circumstances, situations where I can't see what God's doing. I don't know what he's about. But I won't spiral off anymore into that, well, he's just not going to show me, he doesn't care. I haven't been down that road in a long time. What I'll do is sit in and say, God, whatever you're doing here, I don't see it. And I want to, which may mean, as I read this passage, what I'm going to be asking now is, there's something about your love I don't know, or it'd be plainer to me what you're doing. It's not plain to me. So how is it that I lean into that love? How is it today, Father, that you just want to affirm my trust, affirm my affection in you, so that I can take the next step? And that's what Jesus is encouraging in this whole Upper Room discourse, is how do you come into my love? And how does that then trust grow in him, so that when he shows us something, good example, Jesus saying to Peter and to the disciples in Matthew 16, I'm going up to Jerusalem. I'm going to be offered up to the elders of the city. I'm going to be crucified on a cross. And Peter is already arguing with him, see? Because it doesn't fit Peter's expectation of what Peter wants. So he's already fighting, and Jesus has to say, whoa, get behind me, Satan. The pretty graphic terms here. You're looking out for man's interests, not God's. And it's so easy in our fear-based and living in a world that wants us to have all the gusto we can get and all that we can grab, it's easy for us to believe that if I'm not seeing it, if it's not happening for me, then God's doing something wrong. Instead of, oh man, I just want to lean in a little closer. I want to listen to what he has to say. He's making it plain. If it's not plain to me. Now, what I don't want you to do is go down some performance track. Well, I'm not saying it because I'm not working hard enough. So I'm going to read the Bible more and I'm going to pray more and I'm going to do. I'm saying when you're not saying it, just lean into his love. Love is the lens through which life makes sense. I watched Meet the Press this last Sunday. For those of you that watch it, they talked about the whole post-truth era we're living in. They had journalists from major publications, and it's all about, you know, you can't, the truth just isn't out there anymore. Everybody has their alternative facts, and everybody wants to define what's truth on their own basis. And where people get their news now, or what they trust to be true from source A, source B, source C, or source D, is that it's allowing there to be such confusion in our society, because what's actually happening is, and I see the same, the reason I thought that was fascinating in a scary way is because I've been seeing it happen theologically for a long time. People have decided now, I'm going to choose what parts of Scripture make the most sense to me and allow me to redefine my theology based on what gives me comfort, what alleviates my fears, or what makes me not feel like I need God to touch my life because I'm just okay the way I am. And I've watched Scripture be so misinterpreted now, because when we've lost fact, or we've lost truth with a capital T, right? Not just what's true, but now truth itself, even has become relative in the Christian tradition, because we've seen the Bible so misinterpreted by people, and we know they were wrong. All that judgment, anger, hostility, performance that came out, we know all that's wrong. So many of us thought, well, then the whole Bible's wrong. So I'm just going to just do whatever feels good to me. When you're down a road of whatever feels good to you, that's not the road of love. That's going to open the door to what God wants to do in you. What Meet the Press called the fog of unknowability. And I see it impact people, the way they live, the unknowable God, that God's not plain, I can't figure it out, so I'm just going to do what's best. We have a gospel that bends toward truth with a capital T. To have a heart for the truth, to have a heart, I want to know what's true here. I want to know who you really are. I want to know how you want me to live in the world, and I want to do that not out of, I've got to keep God appeased so he'll like me, to, I'm already loved by this God. So now, if I'm learning to live in that love, his reality becomes much more plain to me. And the point of the whole thing is, it's always been plain. It wasn't that it couldn't be seen, it's that it couldn't be accepted. It's Peter hearing about the crucifixion and already arguing. It wasn't that Jesus didn't say it plainly. He said it very plainly. But in fear and in trying to protect my friend, and trying to get life molded around the way Wayne wants it to be, keeps me from seeing it the way God's making it to be. and the way God's invited me into His reality, not because I'm God, now you have to do it my way. It's because God's way is the real way. It's truth with a capital T. It's the only thing that makes sense in our lives. So if you're new on this journey, or if you've been at it a while, you just feel like, man, I'm having a really hard time. Let's talk about that this year. Let's talk about what it is to live loved, a common expression I use it a lot. What is to live loved? What is to live inside God's reality in an ever-increasing way? And how it is that He becomes more plain to us when we're at rest in His love, and less plain to us, or more obscure, or maybe even invisible to us when we are embedded in our own anxieties, which is what Matthew 6 is all about. Don't be anxious, because when you're anxious, you're going to miss it. Don't get so caught up in what you want God to give you that you can't see what God is already giving you. This is about His reality coming into ours, not me getting God shaped around what I want Him to be or how I want my life to be. Life in Him is not a fog of unknowability. Finding out what's true and what's fact-based in our world is not unknowable. It's only unknowable when we're driven by an agenda. And that's why Jesus says, you know, I've made this stuff plain, but the world's going to hate me, and it's going to hate you too, because it wants you to be in their world. Jesus invites us to His. And so that's how I maybe want the year to start. Got some things coming up this year I think will be kind of fun. I've got some conversations I'm looking forward to having, and looking to invite you in. So come join us. See how this life unfolds. But really, the most important thing in all of this is come to rest in His love. Learn how to recognize His fingerprints, His whispers in your heart, the things God is making plain to you, so that you can walk in greater confidence of His affection, greater confidence of you being part of His purpose unfolding in the earth. And because of that, more at rest in a world that is fraught with tension and fears and anxiety. And we can live in it without letting it affect us. That's what I'm going to do this year, and I hope you do too.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com or add your voice by calling our comment line at 805-539-6980.